Welcome to Morning Star Baptist Church's radio broadcast. My name's Stephen Calloway, and we're going to be looking into the Word of God for some truths that are going to help us, particularly the believer today. The pulpit of the living God ought to be a place where the struggling saint can find hope and comfort. We're all very serious about evangelism, and it's certainly the center of our heart to evangelize people every day of our lives, everywhere we go. But we ought to take a time out every once in a while and look to our own. Look to those in our pews and in our churches who are saved by the grace of God, but are struggling, having a secret battle with doubt. If they really know the Lord Jesus Christ or not, for whatever various reason, people fall into this deep hole, and sometimes it takes them years to get out. It's safe to say that if you do not have assurance who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not be able to serve Him well. You will not have peace. You will not have joy. You're going to spend your everyday life struggling to hold your head up. It's going to be up and down and ebb and flow. You're just not going to be able to be fruitful. And in 1 Peter 1:5, the very first step in the succession of things that we're to add to ourselves in our Christian life, the first step is add to your faith. Another way of saying that is, or just to add a synonym to help us understand what the Holy Ghost was saying, add to your assurance. Add to your faith, says Peter. It's the very beginning. There is absolutely no other reason that anybody on planet Earth is going to heaven other than the saving grace and atoning work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. That's your only hope. Period. You must begin there. It is grace alone. Period. God really is that good. He really will just save anybody that'll go to Him with an honest heart, that'll go to Him with a repentant heart and believe like a little child that everything God ever said in His Word about the Lord Jesus Christ and about Himself is true. It's just true. He's true. Period. You got to start there. Your salvation is based on His character and His character alone. You must be able to stand on that. Who God is. Begin there. Let's go to our text. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. The writer of this epistle, whether it be Stephen or whether it be Paul or whoever, it's His desire to see the Lamb of God show diligence to make their calling and election sure. And there are ways in the Scripture to give you plain evidence. I'm talking about clear as day who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ to show you if you're really born again or not. And it's my desire to give every person under the sound of my voice a weapon against Satan when he comes at you to undermine your experience in grace. Because believe me, he's coming for you. He hates you and he hates what Jesus Christ has done in your life. He would love nothing more than for you to lay down and give up. But you can't give up. You absolutely can't give up. You can't lose sight of so many people that are depending on you. But more importantly, you can't quit because the Lord Jesus didn't quit. You can't give up. There's enough grace to get you to the end. There's enough grace to get you through. God can lead you through. You can't quit. I want to give you hope today. Our pulpits ought to be a place of comfort every once in a while. I want to give you hope today. I want to give you assurance today. Stand on Jesus Christ. Do it unashamedly. Stand on what He's done. Don't look inside yourself for something to tell you you're saved. Don't look at anything other than the risen Lord Jesus for your assurance. It's my desire that you have full assurance. I mean full. Overrunning with assurance. The exhortation here in Hebrews 6 is to couple, to join diligence to the full assurance of hope, that you might show diligence in understanding where you are with the Lord. And there's so many people when they hear preaching like this, they draw back. They get afraid. They're like, He's going to show me that I'm lost. He's going to show me that I'm in trouble. Listen, a wise, wise old man of God told me one time. He said, the only people that are scared to death about their salvation are the ones that are saved. The only ones that are afraid that they don't know the Lord. The only ones that are brokenhearted about the fact that they don't love Jesus Christ enough are the ones who really love Him. It's those ones who sit service after service and they're never afraid. They're never scared. They've never seen their own sin. They've never been awoken to who they are or what they are. The law of God's never done its work in their heart. But it's those precious ones that are so afraid. It's my desire to strengthen your weak knees and your shaking hands. Be diligent to know who you are in Christ. We must show diligence to understand that your Christian life as a whole will rise and fall with the ebb and flow of your assurance of salvation. It is here that the battle will be fought a lot of the time, and it is here that Satan will try to undermine you. And if he is successful, you will not bear fruit. You will not be able to serve the Lord. Think of what he did to the Lord. I might get ahead of myself here, but let's go. Think about Matthew chapter 4. Go there with me. Go there with me. If you're not driving, wherever you are, if you can, go there with me. And I want you to sear inside your mind. I want you to brand it inside your mind that if Satan, the arch fiend of hell, would tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think he's going to do to you? I mean, let that settle in your soul for a minute. Get a hold of that in your mind. If he's willing to try and undermine Jesus Christ himself, then I want you to just think about the kind of lies and foolishness that he's going to try to feed you as you try to serve God and live for God. I'm telling you, he'll tell you anything. He'll fill your head full of junk. You can't listen to him.
You want to stand around and conversate with the devil all day long, and don't be surprised when you're shattered and broken and crying and walking in darkness and doubt. You cannot listen to him. You listen to the Lord. When he comes and he speaks plainly. But you better believe that he is the author of confusion, not God. If there's something in your mind trying to confuse you every single day and everywhere you go and everything you do, you better believe it's not the Lord of glory. It is Satan. Look at how he treated Jesus. Then was Jesus led up, verse 1, of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Look at the audacity of Satan. Look at him there. He really thinks that he's going to tempt the perfect, the sinless, the eternal Son of God. He thinks he can. He's that ignorant. If he's that confident with my Jesus, he'll tear you apart if you'll let him. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God." If you're really the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Are you really who you say you are? Are you the Son of God? Then why don't you turn those stones to bread? I'm telling you, every single person that I know intimately in my Christian life, every one of them, no exceptions, at some point or another in these years I've been involved in my local church, at some point, every one of them has come to me and said, "Brother, I don't know where I'm at. I'm afraid. I haven't heard from the Lord. I'm scared. I've been preaching and now I'm doubting. I'm afraid. What if I'm a fraud?" Everybody deals with it. Don't you let anybody sell you anything different. At some point or another, I don't care if you're Maze Jackson, at some point or another, you've had to step back from yourself and say, "I know I met Jesus Christ, but there's some things in my mind, there's some things in my life, they just don't look good sometimes. And there's a whole lot of things in my life that don't add up. And there's a whole lot of prayer requests I've made. I've wept to God. I know I was right with God. I was confessed up. I'm keeping short accounts with the Lord. And I've been begging God. And I have not heard from Him. He's not answered me and I'm afraid." People stand up and they say, "The Lord answered my prayer," and you see it all around you all the time. People standing up and testifying. And sometimes you're like, "Well, if people are experiencing that and this, where am I at with the Lord?" Or maybe you're reading about Charles Wesley, or you're reading about some great saint of old, and you see their experience. And you see where they are with the Lord. And you say, "Oh, if this is what it's like to really know God, then I must not know Him at all." It's to you this message was written. Because I have spent time in the shallows as my life fell apart. And I did not have any hope. And I laid there and miserable for weeks. Found myself in a dark place. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I wept many nights. And I didn't know where I was at. The fear and the pain when your life falls apart and you can't explain it. We ought to be careful what we say. You just don't know what people are going through around you. Oh, we got to be careful. God has been so tender with me. Do you understand me? He's been so tender with me. He's been so loving and patient to me. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Satan tempted Jesus Christ. Hold on, little lamb. Believe God. Trust God. Confess your sins to Him and walk with Him until He comes and speaks to you again. He draws back to make us grow up sometimes. I have grown these past 3 years. I am not even remotely similar to who I was 3 years ago. It's because there comes a time when God says, I'm going to pull back for a little while and I'm going to fertilize you and you're going to grow. God has set times He visits His children, times they experience His presence. Let me get on. Without assurance, you won't have joy. You won't have peace. You won't be able to suffer. Some trial will come in your life and you don't have assurance, and it's going to be like a sledgehammer to your feet. You won't be able to pray because you'll say, if I'm not saved, what good is it to pray? It's useless. And there'll come people looking for a drink of water, and there you are. Don't even know who you are in the Lord. They're looking for somebody to give them some hope. They're looking for somebody to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there you are being strangled by Satan. It ought not be. It ought not be. He's strangling you, and there comes somebody. The Lord just sent them your way. You're dying of dehydration yourself. But oh, how God gives grace in those moments. He has helped me in the past. When I was struggling myself, here comes some weak stumbling lamb just like me, and He gave me a word for him. I'm telling you, God's gracious. Number two, we must have diligence to understand that Satan will camp out here as long as you let him. You can't let him any longer. Don't let him ravage and destroy the fruitfulness in your life. Here's what I want you to get a hold of in just the few minutes I have left. We must have diligence to understand the natural man versus the regenerated man. Hold on to this with all your heart. As you fight Satan, as you try to stand against him, as you watch out for his wiles and him trying to destroy your life and your family, I want you to get a hold of this. I want it to be a sharp quiver or a sharp arrow in your quiver. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Turn there if you can. Especially if you really are struggling where I'm preaching. Verse 14 of chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. It's real simple. It's really, really simple. is the Lord Jesus Christ and everything He's done, and His atoning work on the cross, and His precious body being torn to pieces, and your sin being laid on His back, is that foolishness to you, my friend? You say, no, God forbid, I love Him. That's not foolishness to me. That's the most precious thing in my life. There's nothing more important to me than that truth right there. Friend, you're saved. The unregenerate man does not care. That's all foolishness to him. Get a hold of that. Satan's coming to tempt you. Go to the grace fountain while you can and get some strength. If the things of the Spirit of God are not foolishness to you, you can't be the natural man. You're either regenerated or unregenerated. There is no man's land somewhere in the middle. You're either regenerate or not. What about Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4? Is this your prayer? Draw me. We will run after thee. Is this precious to you? The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Is the chief end of your life to know God? You want to know Him with all your might? Are you looking for Him? Do you delight in thinking about meeting the Lord Jesus? Well, the only one that cares about those things, the bride. The only person that talks like that's the bride. A pagan reprobate does not care about God drawing them, about God speaking to them. They're not concerned with that. That's the last thing on their mind. But the bride says, draw me, O God. Draw me. I want to know you, God. Let me ask you this. Is your chief complaint that your love for Jesus Christ is weak and faint? Then you're a Christian. Is your chief complaint that your love for Jesus Christ is weak and faint? Do you mourn over the fact that you wish you could love Him more? Does it break your heart that you can't love Him like you want to? Then you're a Christian. You want Him more than anything. There's so many people that sit around in church and you know they really don't want to know God. They really don't want God. But if you can sit there and say with me, with all the zeal in your heart, that if I could flip the switch and give myself wholly to Him and give all my sin to Him and be done with it all and just serve Him the rest of my life, if that's you, do you wish sometimes that you could flip a switch and just give yourself to God? Then you're a Christian. Do you wish you could be in entire, unbroken communion with Jesus Christ every single day of your life and not be interrupted with sin? Then you're a Christian. What about Romans 7 in closing? How am I on time, Brother Jimmy? 5 minutes. Oh, little Lamb of God.
Listen to me. Satan's mouth is full of dead men's bones. Grab a hold of these truths with all your heart. He'll tempt you just as sure as you're listening to me right now. He'll come and tempt you right before the Lord's going to need you to do something for Him. Satan always comes. He's got a plan to destroy you. But the man or woman that's rejoicing daily in their salvation, it's hard to bring them down. But if he can get your rejoicing, if he can get your eyes off of Jesus, he can get you. What about this? Is this your experience? Romans 7:14-25. For we know that the law is spiritual. The Apostle Paul talking now. But I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, come on, think about yourself while I'm reading these verses. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, in other words, what I want to do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. People read these verses a little too calm for my taste. I'm telling you, he's struggling. I believe there's probably tears on this chapter when he wrote it. For that which I, verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. He says the law of God's perfect. There's not a thing wrong with it. It's all perfect and holy and just and right. There's not a thing wrong with the law of God. It's me. It's all me. I'm the problem. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, or the desire to do good, is present with me. But how to perform it, that which is good, I find it not. I don't find the ability inside myself to do the thing that I want to do. I am my own worst enemy. I want so badly to serve God, but every once in a while, this old ugly lion called sin rises up in me and puts a jaw on my throat. For the good that I, verse 19, that I would do, for the good that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that in my members warring, I find then a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? You may be struggling hard with some sin. Let me say this. The only person that struggles hard with sin is the Christian. The carnal man goes on in his ways and he never changes. He never gets convicted. He's never broken over his sin. But if you are falling apart because of some sin that you can't seem to get the victory over, then mind me, friend, you are a Christian. And everything the Lord Jesus Christ died to give you is at your disposal if you'll just go and ask Him in prayer to help you. I surely hope that helps somebody today, because knowing these truths has changed my life. I love you and I hope you keep going on for Jesus Christ. Amen.